A24 got the rights and has given him the entire franchise of Texas Chainsaw Massacre to reboot.
Is this going to be a woke reboot?
This it's not going to be.
How do you make a woke reboot?
Well, first of all, he can't use real leather for his mask, so he has to be faux leather face. And they're vegetarians, so the whole family's vegetarians.
Yeah.
So what's going on in the world? I do happen to believe that algorithms don't like Craig Shoemaker. I won't dwell on it. We loved having him on. I thought he was a great guest. He told us some awesome stories. We all had a great time. We all laughed. But apparently YouTube said nope. And we haven't even breached 60. And over the last couple of weeks, we've done really well. Yeah. This one, not so good. And it's all algorithms. And I said to Dustin through text, I hope he doesn't see how few videos he got. And he sent me a screen grab of Craig's YouTube page, and they're all pretty similar in view count, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was, well, and that was the thing. I didn't check, so I was feeling the same way. And I was like, let me just see how YouTube feels about pushing Craig. And I looked at his page, and I was like, oh, okay, then we're right in the average there.
Neither coming nor going, and probably not going to be seen a lot. Certainly not on the channel that he created and built with his blood, sweat, and tears. The Onion is going to be leasing InfoWars, part of Alex Jones's settlement with the SH families. See what I did? I didn't say the name of the city. The SH families who were harassed by some of his viewers, maybe not necessarily him, for the false flag.
Oh, so does that mean he's out?
Well, he's not out. He can do whatever he wants. He can create something new.
No, I'm saying he's out, like, of InfoWars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah. Well, what's going on is last year, Global Tetrahedron, which is the parent company of The Onion, tried to buy InfoWars during the auction when they were selling it off so all of his assets could go to paying off the debt that he owes from this lawsuit. But they tried to buy it, and a judge stopped them from buying it because they were being sneaky with it. And now they are going to lease the name and the website and the assets and use it for marketing purposes and to do creative things. Now, this all pens on Texas Judge Maya Guerra Gamble, and the hearing is going to be on the 30th, I believe. $81,000 per month with 6 months in the initial license. That's how much they're going to pay to license it. And yeah, it was 2024. So 2 years ago, their bankruptcy auction was thrown out over procedural problems. And they're going to take it over. They already have a website where they're teasing it. And that might have been up for a while, where they have merch and it says InfoWars. But one of the letters, one of the vowels is changed to the Onion logo. And it looks cool. And they're selling merch and stuff like that. You know, I get why a lot of people don't like InfoWars. I get why a lot of people don't like Alex Jones, even though I never did anything to anybody. I pointed out the fact that they turned the frogs gay. And then, and now that I don't like Donald Trump anymore, you think they would like me. But they don't like me. They don't like me. They don't want to buy my super male prostate serum. They don't want to buy any of my vitamins. He took a lot of his assets, by the way, and put them into places, which these people always do, where they're untouchable. So he won't be starving. And again, he will create his own new thing, the Alex Jones channel or whatever, and he'll still do what he does. One of the guys that The Onion's going to bring on to host shows is going to be Tim Heidecker. Tim Heidecker does a podcast called Office Hours, which I enjoy watching. I think it's funny. I think he's a very talented, brilliant, funny guy. And I was one of those people who thought that Tim and Eric, what was it called?
Great job.
Yeah. At first, when I watched it, I thought, this is really weird and dumb, and I don't like it, and blah, blah, blah. And then I got into it because it is weird, but it's funny.
Steve, what kind of wine is that you're drinking? I can't see, hon.
Sweet berry wine!
But, you know, he tends to be one of those super liberal, not even liberal, I don't want to say liberal, but very progressive types of guys. And he did that brilliant Joe Rogan parody. I don't know if you remember that. He sort of resembled the set. And what he does is he matches the way they speak and their delivery. And he does good stuff with Alex Jones. So what he's going to do is a bunch of creative stuff on there. But I don't see the value, unless you're just trying to get one over on Alex Jones and please a certain subset of people who watch these types of things. I don't think it's a good business model because no one's going to come back all the time. You already have The Onion, which satirizes popular culture. Now, this will satirize the conspiracy people, but I think what do you guys think? I think it's kind of a not smart unless they turn it into something completely different.
I mean, it could be funny and entertaining. Did I read that Alex Jones invited them onto his show? Did I read that?
Oh, that's his MO. He wants to confront you on camera, make a spectacle.
Right, right. But yeah. I think that would probably be smart for them to do that.
Tim could handle
it. Go on his show.
Yeah. Tim could handle it.
Yeah, I think it's dumb for Alex to offer it as opposed to Tim going.
No, we can reach common ground and I can reach out and tell Tim that I don't like Donald J. Trump because he betrayed us and I regret voting for him just like Tucker Carlson said, but I just wanted to come on the show.
But yeah, he did invite him. You're right. But again, I one or two times doing that is more than enough. And you would think that a guy like Tim Heidecker would know that. And I think that he does because he did that Rogan thing once or twice and he doesn't do it every week.
Well, maybe they're going to make something more of it.
I think they are. They're gonna
make
it. I read one thing where they're going to make it a broader comedy network and invite, you know, communities that don't get enough representation in comedy, which I disagree with because everybody has access to comedy now. It's like everything else, everything is niche. But there's something for everybody now. And I don't know, younger people, I guess maybe sometimes they gravitate toward, I'm supposed to like this comedy because of what they talk about and they fit with my values. I've never felt that way about comedy. Even if, you know, people talked about things I don't like or that I don't agree with, I don't care. If they're funny, they're funny. Now, I did go through a phase where I was like, I'm not going to, but that was dumb. And I realized how stupid that was.
Yeah. Like what makes you laugh you can't help what makes you laugh. Right.
Right. I asked a young comic when I was judging the show at the Punchline. I said, you know, he asked me about what I like about comedy. And I sort of said, well, you know, I got out of it for a while. And the guy who got me back into it was I did an interview with Dusty Slay. I said, do you like Dusty Slay? And he just kind of looked at me and shook his head. And I figured it had something to do with the way he lives is, I don't know. But he didn't like
Yeah, cultural.
I mean, it's not clashing. Like he's controversial. Yeah.
He's not.
No, but I think with basically The Onion said it would be funny to make InfoWars a trans comedian channel. To me, that seems like you're taking advantage of their situation to make your own joke.
Yes.
And that's not right.
And to get one over on the people that really like Alex Jones. And we're showing them. And how do they know that the majority of the people who watch Alex Jones don't like trans people?
Right.
You know, that's an assumption.
Or would even show up. You know, most of these people, I mean, InfoWars lost their privileges for YouTube. How many? Like five times. It's not like he's got a popular television show that you're all of a sudden just going to change the host out on.
Yeah, it's not like Roseanne.
No.
They're going to be called the Connors. Connors Wars.
What were you going to say, Lizzie?
I was going to say, back to the, you know, comedian stuff, comic stuff, is I grew up where it was comedians supported each other no matter what the subject matter was, right? Because it was kind of like them against the audience, like free speech. Like they can say what they want to. You don't have to like it. And I don't feel like it is that way now. Like I said, funny is funny. So you can have differing, like as a comedian, you can have differing opinions and views.
The thing that made me feel better about what you're saying is that I think it was last year or maybe a little bit toward the end of 2024, David Cross went on Jim Brewer's podcast, or maybe it was the other way around. And they sort of mended fences, because politically they're polar opposites and they're going after each other. But then they realized, hey, you know, this is kind of stupid. And I'm bringing that up because David Cross is everywhere right now. He's promoting his stand-up special. And then he has a sort of a documentary thing coming up with Bob Odenkirk where they climb a mountain somewhere. Have you seen the
preview? Machu Picchu.
Yeah. Machu Picchu. That's going to be cool. But Cross, years ago, and I never, ever got into Larry the Cable Guy as a comedian. And now And I realized why I did it, because I saw the way he looked and I heard the way that he spoke. And I said, I'm never going to like this guy. And I have watched him over the years do clips, and he's a funny comedian. You don't fill up giant arenas if people don't think you're funny. And so Cross and a lot of guys in the alt comedy world in the 2000s attacked him constantly. And I started seeing these things and I started feeling, well, you know, they're comedians. They're making people laugh. They're not the same as you. They don't think the same as you, but they're making people forget about their lives for a little bit. They might not be talking about serious issues, but they're making people laugh. And to me, that's the most important thing when it comes to comedy.
Yeah. I mean, that's comedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there are comedians who are, you know, extremely insensitive and hurtful to other people. Like, I would say Ben Bankus probably wouldn't go over well with a progressive audience. But he's... His delivery is good, and he has stage presence, and some of the things he says are funny.
I kind of liken it to, like, bands. Like, when I was in bands and you would be on the road and you would meet up, you know, every night you had two or three other bands you were playing with that you didn't know most of the time.
Yeah.
And you kind of had a mutual respect just as musicians, regardless of what kind of music you played. And the same thing I would assume applies with comedians. You know, if you're a comedian, you're a comedian first, and everything right. else is after that.
But, well, that's what I am. I was joking when I was talking about Sandy, that place.
I don't ever watch his show. I did for a little while. I thought it was interesting. But all that stuff is just copium for, you know, whatever you believe. That's what all those shows are, copium. So anyway, best of luck to everybody. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure some of that stuff that they put on InfoWars once they start leasing it will be very funny. And I know that what Heidecker does will be funny. But it's not something I think that's sustainable.
No, 6 months will probably be enough.
Yeah, that's all they need. And then Alex will go do something else.
YouTube.
Speaking of good news and how much we love YouTube, who put this YouTube story in? These are great.
I did.
Yeah, talk about it. YouTubers are the new flock of Hollywood filmmakers.
Yeah. It came out this week that YouTuber Curry Barker, he recently had a film called The Obsession. And this week, A24 got the rights and has given him the entire franchise of Texas Chainsaw Massacre to reboot.
Is this going to be a woke reboot?
How do you make a woke reboot?
Well, first of all,
he
can't use real leather for his mask, so he has to be faux leather face. And they're vegetarians, so the whole family's vegetarians.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting take on it. Now, this is on the heels of YouTuber Markiplier. He went and wanted to make a movie, and he made it on his own. He's one of those big influencers on YouTube. He makes a lot of money on YouTube, but no studio or anything would give him the time of day. So he took it upon himself to finance the whole movie. And when it came out, month before last, it came out to acclaim. I mean, it actually had a run at the theaters. He did it all himself.
How did he get distribution without backing of a studio?
Well, he grassroots type. He was able to talk to some chains of movie theaters, and they're in such dire straits that they're making deals where they will have an independent film play. So right. He almost became self-distributing in that respect. But it made a ton of money and a lot of attention. All of a sudden... last week they came out with another YouTuber who I think he's like 21 years old. There's a movie called The Back Rooms that's mm-hmm. coming out. I don't know if you guys have seen the Back Rooms theory.
I have not. No.
Okay. It's one of those things. You've probably seen some of the videos where it looks like somebody walked into an empty office building and all of a sudden you can't get out of it. It's like,
oh yeah, yeah, the never ending office building. Yeah. I've seen those videos.
Yeah, it's called that whole series.
Creepypasta.
Creepypasta. That's what it's called.
Creepypasta. Yeah.
Yeah. The Creepypasta is, and it was part of that. It was kind of brought up in those Reddit things and yeah, Twitch and stuff, and it has now been made into a movie, and it's got like a, you know, an A-list cast that's going to be in it. So like right now, the biggest crop of new independent filmmakers are literally being taken from YouTube directly into Hollywood with some of these more progressive type companies like A24 is a good one, because
this is kids who grew up in internet culture bubbling up to the surface and filling a void, because the studios are just, for the most part, putting out the same thing over and over and over. Yep. And they're putting it out, and they're not trusting theaters. They're putting it on streaming services right away, which is leading me back to what Steven Spielberg said recently. I think it was CineCon, where he said, put the movies in the theater, leave them in the theater. Don't put them on a streaming platform until, I don't know, 120 days have gone past. People will go see them. And I've made this argument for years. You know, newspapers are dead. Well, newspapers are only dead because they gave up. They started putting all their content online. Well, they, well, you know, we got to chase this, got to chase that. And yeah, to some extent, easier, all media has done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all media has done that. Television, radio. I mean, I don't know. This gives me hope, because these are young people who want to make movies and they want control over their movies. And with that independent spirit of when we were younger, you know, and Tarantino came out and Kevin Smith was fresh and Soderbergh was still young and fresh and not using AI. He's using AI.
Yeah, they're creative, and it's not a bunch of corporate people being like, no,
well, and
this is
and
how we do it.
Krieger,
let's polish it up,
was one of them too, and he's the director of Weapons. So, and you know, they just had the Academy Award, you know, given to, you know, a cast member there. So I mean, all of these things are kind of pointing towards, you know, this is going to be the new pool that they're pulling from, is going to be what people are, which is makes sense. I mean, it's where your creatives are.
Think about Josh Warren's short film. Matthew Brueggemann directing it and writing it and making it, and it's high quality and it's good, and it's good acting, and it's, you know, hit all these festivals.
And I could tell you that
say what it is again so in case people missed it. What is this movie called?
Zappanoes.
That's right.
Zappanoes, yeah.
And it's on Omegle.
Yes.
And that same website is where
on Omegle?
Not Omegle.
What are you doing on there? Showing people your wiener? Omegle was the site that replaced
it. Yeah, that's the.
What is it on? It's on something fancy.
Yeah, I know. I'm finding it.
What was that site called before Omegle? It was. God, you remember those sites?
Yeah.
And I would go and troll people. That was so much fun.
Yeah,
where you could show your penis.
Well, it just pops up somebody in front of you.
Yeah. It was. God, I wish. Do you remember what it was called, Jeff?
Stick'em?
No, it was after Stick'em. It was this website where you would go and your camera would come on, and then you would just be connected with somebody at random. And you could either talk to them or skip. And as usual, there was always some guy off.
Yeah.
And they finally got around to you know, trying to stop it. It didn't work. It was Chat Roulette. That was the first one.
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
And so back when they had Chat Roulette, I used this spoof software. What I would do is I'd go to this blog cam site, whatever, and I would capture video of just girls, not naked. They were just sitting there chatting. And I would screen grab it and edit it so it looked like they were real. And I would go to Chat Roulette and put them up there. And it looked like, so the guy would come up and he would start off, and then I would immediately cut to like something very gross, like a guy, you know, scat stuff. Yeah. And then I would capture, and I still have all these these captures, the reactions. I would show them like being looking creepy at the women, and then they're like disgusted faces. And then on Omegle, I would go on live And sometimes, this is when I lived in Dunwoody by myself. One night, I just smeared peanut butter all over my belly and ate, like, scooped crackers and would eat it. And I have some of those, too.
Now, to be fair, the site with the films is called Omeletto.
Okay, not Omegle.
Omeletto, thank you.
So it's
just
close.
Yeah, I just text Josh Warren. I was like, what's the site?
Yeah, it's Omeletto.
It's not the
now
one
we're talking about scooping peanut butter off of Tim's belly. Give me the site.
Jeff, you did the trolling on chat.
I used to rig it so that it would show them on the camera.
Yeah.
And then I would bring in like a huge and like bring it towards their face.
Yeah, I did that. You could drag it with your mouth. Yeah. With your mouth. I
think this is a world that I've never been a part of.
We lived together then. We'd hear each other laughing in the other room doing this trolling.
The Labyrinth
is also brought to you by The Punchline. It's tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner. The Punchline is Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub. You can get a huge slab of cake, some waffles, maybe some pancakes and sausage. That way you're satisfied and full while you're having a beer and watching very funny comedy. Coming up at The Punchline this weekend, Alec Flynn. On April 29th, Karen Morgan. April 30th, Maher Mata. May 1st through the 3rd, J.C. Cure. May 7th, you have T. Sanders and also Nick DiPaolo. So is T. Sanders opening for Nick DiPaolo, Jeff?
No, I think there's like a 7 and a 9 or something.
Oh, that's cool. So Nick's doing one show.
Yeah.
Patreon members, next week we will pick another winner and let you know. The last couple of winners that I've told about, they haven't gotten back to me about when they want to go, but you're still winners in my book. Go to punchline.com and check out all the shows. Euphoria fans apparently are mad that Sydney Sweeney's character is being degraded because
you said aroused wrong.
I did. Well, oh, yes. Real fans of the show, which are all men over the age of 40, are very happy with the time jump and the fact that Sydney Sweeney is playing a vapid OnlyFans influencer because she...
For two episodes, that's why
she's trying to be.
That's why everybody's mad because it was only two episodes that she did the OnlyFans stuff.
Oh,
I don't think she's making money yet. She's trying to be.
No, she gave it up this week. Spoiler alert.
Oh, she did? Why?
Because they're getting married.
Oh.
Her and that guy Lizzie hates.
I read an article. I don't never watch this show. I'm afraid to watch it because I don't want my wife to open the HBO Max app and see that I've been watching Euphoria. Because what other reason to watch it unless it's very well acted and it's great?
It is well acted and it's well shot and like
tons of nudity.
It's a beautiful piece of work, even though it's disgusting and hard to watch. It's
well, if high school kids really act like that, then damn,
they do not.
You have to be attractive because like ugly high school people aren't doing that.
And like they're not, their ages aren't actually high school ages. While well,
they time jumped for this.
No, I mean, when they're in high school, they're not even teenagers.
Because Sydney Sweeney's like, if you go to Reddit, and I'm not saying to do this or that I do it, but if you go to Reddit.
I feel like you do it.
No. You can check. Go look at the Redbox Troll. That is the name of my Reddit handle, Redbox Troll. You look at it, I'm not following any of that stuff. But anyway, I've heard that there's a lot of clips from this show. And I saw the one where she has the ice cream on her boobs. And I thought, well, that's just a huge waste of ice cream.
What I think the whole controversy is you had all of these people who were not familiar with her or her work, but jumped on her bandwagon when the American Jeans thing happened.
Gents.
And so now these people who are... You know, since then until this season came out, have been avid fans of her, realize what her actual work is, and are complaining about it.
Oh, so you think there's a lot of right-wing MAGA people who are like, I'm going to go watch this Sydney Sweeney show. Yeah. I don't.
No, I believe that's exactly what it is.
A lot of the complaints I've seen are from feminists.
Well, they never watched like the other seasons. I mean, maybe it's not none like of them this did. Is new
or
character.
Or, well, go ahead, Lizzie.
As a fan and like knowing her character, I will say I feel bad for the character because all of her life she struggled. Like in the first season, like she's super sweet and she's trying to break that, like, oh, you're just a piece of meat to look at. People just assume she's slutty in one way or another, and she has daddy issues. And then the second season comes and she, you know, stabs her best friend in the back and gets together with Nate Jacobs. And then she becomes all the things she didn't want to be.
You forgot to say hideous Nate Jacobs.
Yes, Nate Jacobs. Gross.
A lot of this, I think, because the season just started and because of the character she's playing and because of the nudity and stuff, this is all that ginned up internet controversy. People don't really think these things. And some random person saying it on social media doesn't mean that the majority of people are thinking anything like it at all.
Well, I'll tell you one of the dumbest things I've seen from multiple people online. Getting mad at the actress for saying the lines as her character and playing that character.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Sydney Sweeney has sunk too low because of, like, what she said in the show. And it's like, dude, she's... That's a character. Like, she's written. Like, that's not her saying those lines. That's a character saying those lines.
Yeah, well, like the guy who played James or Jane Gum in Silence of the Lambs. He didn't really keep women in his well.
Right, exactly. It's like, gosh, guys, y'all, it just seems so... It just makes me fear for humanity sometimes when I read stuff like that.
He did put the hose on Monk, though.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, Monk. Put the lotion in the basket, Monk. Monk rubs the lotion on his skin or else he gets the homes again. Put the fucking lotion in the basket.
Precious. Precious.
That's my favorite part of that whole movie. No, it's not, but it's...
it sounds like it is.
When he's making
the creepiest part. Yeah, when he's... apparently... Michael is a very bad TV movie that they spent $15 million reshooting tons of and have a lot of AI in it. I have no interest in seeing this, but when it streams, I'll probably watch it. The Michael Jackson biopic. They cut out everything. They were going to start the movie, I believe, with the criminal allegations. And, you know, remember, they took pictures of my lower body and genitals. They took pictures of my lower haunches and genitals. It's very disrespectful. I'm one of those people.
What if they could have made it to where they did dive into that, but they made him look...
Well, they cut it out. His decent. Family
made him look... Like, they made him look like the good guy. Like, they made him...
They're not thinking about that. That's a family. They're thinking about how much is this going to affect their income stream going forward.
Jafar Jackson looks just like him and does a great job performing as him, I've heard. And the people who don't hate the movie are saying, you know, it's okay. It's a biopic. The last real biopic of a musician, I think, I saw the Bob Dylan one, and I liked that one because Dylan had a lot to do with it. So it was, you know, full of a lot of BS, but Dylan's always been that way. But the Queen one is not a remarkable film, and people don't talk about it anymore because it wasn't good.
I didn't love the Queen movie. Like, I mean, it was entertaining, but as a Queen fan watching it, I was like, oh, that's not real, and that's not right.
No, and the ending was... He didn't tell them he had HIV before Live Aid. He didn't know he had it till well after Live Aid, and that was always my problem with it.
And it turns out his dad's Mr. Robot the whole time.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. And the teeth were fake. I have a pussycat dog.
I mean, that, you had Rocket Man.
I haven't seen that because...
It's good.
Is
that's
it?
Why
is
I didn't it? Watch it. I didn't watch it because of the Queen movie.
That's what I was about to say. Two, I didn't watch it because of the Queen movie.
Two different movies altogether. Yeah, it's much better. It's much better made film.
Well, the Freddie Mercury left a bad taste in my mouth. I did that.
The Bruce Springsteen one with the guy from The Bear is pretty good.
Yeah, I heard
that was good.
Yeah, I've heard that if you're a fan of Bruce in that album...
Yeah,
it's a real good movie. But if you're just a casual, you know, born in the USA kind of fan, it kind of goes over your head.
I watched La Bamba the other night.
That's a great movie.
Such a good movie. And like, Bob is such a piece, but like, you feel for him, man. He's just always tossed to the side. But nobody can draw Woody Woodpecker like Bob, man.
That's right. What does he say? It tastes like piss to me.
He started
my Richie.
Not my,
my Richie, not my Richie.
Trailer trash time. We're watching trailers of things that are either out now or they're coming out now. Super Troopers 3 comes out August 7th and only in theaters, so that's good. We need to go to the theater to see it. I thought the trailer was fantastic. What'd you guys think? Are you in?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I love the yeah. What was that line? Oh, God, what was that line?
The plot of this one is Farva is going to marry his sister. Yeah. Of course, you know, no one wants Farva in their family, but right. It shows his parents come into town, and it looks like on the bachelor party, he goes to they take him to a strip thing, and he kicks in the door, and his dad is on the couch with the strippers. And
pull up a cup
Farva
chair.
Goes, yeah, pull up a cup chair.
That's yeah. What a great line.
I think my favorite part is when the condoms got delivered to the house, and it was like short and wide.
Short and wide.
Like a tuna can.
Yeah.
I don't know why Kevin Heffernan is not bigger. He just keeps doing stuff with these guys, which, I mean, as well he should, but he should break out as a star. Yeah, he's got like some John Candy qualities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another trailer I put in there is called Hungry, and the trailer made me laugh. I don't know if this is something I'd go see in the theater. Did you guys all watch the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't see it in the theater, but I'll definitely watch that movie.
Yeah. So here's a slug line. After becoming lost in the Louisiana swamplands, a group of holidaymakers must fight for their lives against a rampaging hippo on the loose.
How did the hippo get there? Is what I want to know.
Maybe they'll explain it in the movie. The only person in the trailer that I recognized was Jim Meskimen. You guys know him or Meskimen?
No.
Well, you know his mom. His mother is Marion Ross.
Oh, okay. I do know him then.
And he's that guy that does the amazing impressions. Like, he can do stuff. Yeah. I mean, he's really, really talented.
This movie seems like the Jaws of hippos.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Godzilla Minus Zero, which is the sequel to Godzilla Minus One, was a fantastic movie. Godzilla Minus Zero looks really, really good. And I love that last shot in the trailer of Godzilla walking next to the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Kind of gives you some scale.
Yeah. You made it.
Godzilla.
You blew it up. Bus Boys. Now, I wanted to hate it, and I watched the trailer, and I thought, this is going to be dumb. And then I watched it again, and of course it's going to be dumb. But I'm going to watch this movie.
Best movies are dumb.
It'll be streaming in 2 weeks, so we'll all have the chance to watch it.
Well, the line in the movie, and it's out right now anyway in theaters, but the line in the movie where Tim Dillon has him by the balls, he goes, "I can feel your balls." So this movie is David Spade and Theo Vaughn. They made it together. Some of the other people paid for it together. Yes, yeah. They did. Tim Dillon is in it. I don't really recognize a lot of the other people.
All it is that group of Austin comedians. I mean,
right.
Most of those people that are in there have been on their podcasts or Rogan's podcast, Joe Dirt 3 and Dumb and Dumber.
Jay Farrow is in it. Yeah. So that can't be too bad. Hey, yeah, I'll definitely watch this movie. Another trailer, Wingman with Harlan Williams. I've been wanting to talk about this. This kind of has the same goofy feel, but I like the premise behind it. And I thought the trailer was funny. That comes out on Apple TV on May 28th.
I was totally confused by the trailer.
And it's Harlan. How could it be terrible? I think it'll be funny. Yeah. A couple other ones I didn't post in here, but I watched. I guess Coyote versus Acme is finally coming out. I watched that trailer.
Yeah.
That looks amazing.
Let's talk about the shelf for 3 years.
Yes. And Clayface, which doesn't appear to me.
The teaser came out.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to have any Batman in it, right? It won't have Batman in it.
Well, it's kind of like The Penguin.
Yeah.
Same city, same universe, and Penguin didn't have any Batman in it.
That extended universe, Tim Burton Batman universe novel that came out a couple years ago, the sequel to that is out now, and I have to get it and listen to it. But they did a really good story with Clayface in that.
That's you guys a great character. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Hey, I want to thank our sponsors for Radio Labyrinth, our long-running partners in this little scheme of a podcast we have. Starting with Atlanta Pizza in Euro. They are over in Conyers, which is Dustin's neck of the woods, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a family-owned restaurant in Conyers with the best local craft beer. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Craft beer not your cup of tea? Well, guess what? Try the $4 16-ounce Tallboy cans of Busch Light, Natty Light, Coors Light, and PBR. Gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties. So just go out there and munch down and have a couple of brews and say that we sent you. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The food truck season is upon us, and they have a number of event dates scheduled through the fall. So if you're interested in possibly booking Atlanta Pizza in Euro for a corporate or private event, please give Mike a call at 770-483-6228. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays 12 to 9, and they are closed on Sundays. Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by another longtime friend, our buddy Brett at LDI. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, then all you got to do is contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005. They got fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
News, views.
Or.
And snooze.
Yeah, we didn't do it last week, but it would have been Marco's Got Money Troubles and Beef Season 2 and Kevin, which I haven't watched Beef Season 2, but I hear it's the big hit for Netflix. Anybody watching that?
No,
I watched the first season. It was good. I haven't started the second.
This is like a whole new cast and a new story.
Yeah, English Nick, my friend English Nick from the River radio station, he loves it. He goes, "You want your beef? Come on, it's great."
Marco's Got Money Troubles is really good. What's his name? From Parks and Recreation. Plays a wrestler. It's really good.
Isn't there a lot of nudity in it? That's another show I don't want popping up.
There is. I think a lot of it's fake, though.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. And what's Kevin about? I don't watch anything.
Yeah, Kevin's about this cat that gets kicked out of his house. It was not very good. I can't recommend that one.
All right.
I watched the first one. I probably won't watch more than that.
Season one of Beef was really good.
Yeah. It gave me anxiety, but I watched it.
Yes. Yeah.
Stranger Things Tales from 85. This is that animated spinoff of Stranger Things. Started on Netflix.
Yeah.
Can watch this, Lizzie?
Yeah. I'm probably going to watch it.
None of the people are doing their own voices.
You what?
None of the characters are doing the voices.
Yeah. I knew that. Watch it. I feel like it'll be maybe more directed towards kids.
Yeah.
Well, than the other one was. Not that between, Al didn't watch regular Stranger Things, but...
It's supposed to be set in between season 2 and season 3, so yeah, they would be younger.
Yeah.
Their voice
Al's already like, ooh, it's going to be dumb. And I'm like, try it out.
Smart kid. He knows.
I might check it out.
He knows how things work.
Half Man, this is the new show from the dude that did Baby Reindeer.
Man, his Baby Reindeer was tough to watch.
Yeah.
It was good. Now, do I want to watch a show about incestuous stepbrothers? I don't know.
Yeah.
Baby Reindeer was tough.
Yeah, it was good, though.
It was well done. But it was, like, sad and uncomfortable. Yeah. And
well, he deserved confusing. What he got for not being direct with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is his new show called Half Man. It's on HBO Max. Comes out on 23rd, so it'll be out by the time this podcast drops.
I'm sure it'll do well.
Yeah.
And then Widow's Bay. This is the new Matthew Reese show on Apple TV. Comes out on the 29th. It's kind of a horror comedy. I'll watch anything Matthew Reese does.
Yeah. I like Matthew Reese.
The trailer, they really like ripped off The Fog.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It looks like they rebooted The Fog. That's what I thought it was at first. And when I started getting into it a little more, I saw what it was going to be. It would probably be pretty good.
I'm still disappointed that they canceled Perry Mason. I thought that was a really good series. with so many good people on it. All right. Thank you, Jeff. Remind me, I want to watch this one. Our staff picks. My book was from 1986, so it's 40 years old. But for the first time, I did the entire audiobook of It, which is a Stephen King novel. You should all know this. There's been a television miniseries in 1990 that I still look back on fondly. Two movies that I could take or leave, and a series that I'll never watch again. But I forgot so much about this story and how long it is and how detailed it is and how some things I thought were super cringy when you hear them being told in a story format or read them aren't as cringy as they turned out to be. One thing that's super cringy is the overuse of the N-word. King in the 80s used the N-word so much in his books. You know, if you're familiar with the drawing of the three honk muffa, then you know well enough. But Mike Hanlon is, you know, the everybody who's familiar with it knows who Mike Hanlon is. And you learn so much detail. And I forgot that King writes and writes and writes all these background things about the different characters who don't end up being a part of the overall narrative of the book. But they are part of the story. And the way that the story ends, which I won't spoil in case you've never read the book. First of all, this is a 45-hour audiobook read by Steven Weber, who also did the abridged version the first time, but this is unabridged.
And also played Jack in the Shining miniseries. Yeah.
Yes. Which I could also take or leave. Yeah. But he's really, really good. And if you like audiobooks with guys who can do characters, even though they don't do the voices, he can do it because he's an actor. I don't know. I recommend it. And it was nice to, after so many years of not revisiting, I used to read the book every year. All right. That's my staff pick.
Mine's the Office Girls, Office Ladies podcast. They break down Grease 2 this week.
Oh.
You know, it's not surprising that a lot of people of our age group kind of like Grease 2 better than Grease 1.
Oh, yeah.
I'm noticing that more and more.
They sing Cool Rider in the podcast.
No way. I'll have to check that out.
Me and my sisters did that at karaoke a few weeks ago.
Cool Rider, they had it there?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
No shit. That's funny.
Yeah, I don't really have a staff pick this week. I mean, I watched La Bamba. That was good.
That's a good pick. That's your staff pick.
Yeah. My staff pick is also an audiobook. Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child came out with Pendergast, The Beginning, which is Pendergast series is like 18 books. And it started with The Relic, which they made into a movie. But because of the rights, they decided to leave the character of Pendergast, which is the main character, out of the movie. Which was odd, but you follow this whole story with him over all these years and all these things. And there's so much secretive about this character, and that's what kind of made him interesting. But this one book goes back and kind of tells you how he started, and it's full of Easter eggs of the entire series. Really good book on Audible.
Awesome. So if you're interested in becoming a Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have two new stickers that we're going to be sending out to everybody. Everybody gets two. That's already on there. That's at the $5 and up level. So that's our base level. If you want to do that, that's fantastic. We would love it if you would do that. $5, you know, that's almost a gallon of gas these days. I understand that, but anyway, or you can join up and be a producer for $25 a month, and you are getting yourself a T-shirt from our T-shirt shop, and you get a message. Well, see, I'm fading. You get a shout-out every week for being an executive producer. And this week, I want to say thank you to Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D., Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, and Pat Turner. Turner. Thank you guys very, very much. And I don't think I'm missing anybody, but if I am, please let me know. And as always, when you're a Patreon member, you are eligible to win a pair of tickets to go to an upcoming Punchline show. Hey, if you like this video, why not click the like, that little thumbs up button. Click that like. Comment. We love your comments. Ask any question. If you ask a question, we'll answer it on the next show. Pop culture related, preferably, but it could be anything. Put it in the comments. Fight with each other. No, don't do that. But, you know, comment, share it. That pushes us out. And if you like us, share us, all that shit. You don't have to turn the alerts on. I have alerts on, and then I get mad that I turned them on. Like, why are you bothering me? But, you know, all the good things that help the algo. And you know, if you're listening to us on the podcast platform, leave a comment. I don't know how we'll know about it unless we look, but if we find it, we'll read it. Other than that, I don't really have anything else this week. Do you guys?
No.
No.
All right, keep it canon, then, gosh darn it.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the rain.